Welcome to the Microgreens World Podcast.
All right, let's dive in. Today, we're exploring sulforaphane.
Sulforaphane.
It's a compound found in cruciferous vegetables. Like, you know, the usual suspects, broccoli, kale.
All right, great.
We've got a bunch of research papers here.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at how sulforaphane impacts different diseases.
Okay.
Cancer, eye health,
even. Oh, wow.
We've also got this really cool bioinformatic analysis.
Okay.
And it predicts how sulforaphane actually works.
At a molecular level.
At a molecular level, yeah.
That's fascinating.
So get ready to unlock the secrets of this this powerful compound.
I'm ready.
And find out why everyone's talking about it in the health world.
Yeah, it seems like it's more than just, you know, eat your veggies this time.
Right, exactly.
We're going to see how sulforaphane might actually help with things like, you know, cancer, eye health, diabetes, even.
Yeah, and I was reading that sulforaphane isn't just sitting in broccoli waiting to be eaten. It actually comes from...
Yeah, it comes from glucoraphanin.
Glucoraphanin, what's that all about?
What is that? It's like this, you know, secret weapon waiting to be activated.
Right.
And glucoraphanin needs a little help to transform into the superhero sulforaphane.
Okay.
So when you chew... cruciferous veggies, like broccoli, an enzyme called myrosinase gets to work, and it converts that glucoraphanin into the active sulforaphane.
So the chewing is actually
crucial.
Yeah, it kickstarts that whole transformation process.
Okay, so I've always been told not to overcook my veggies.
Yes.
Does that impact sulforaphane?
You're spot on.
Okay.
If you boil your broccoli to death, you're likely destroying that precious myrosinase.
Okay.
Which means less sulforaphane for your body.
Yeah.
So steaming or microwaving.
Right. Those are gentler.
Yeah.
They preserve more of the enzyme.
Okay.
And its benefits.
So a little crunch is good for you.
Yes.
Let's get to, you know, the
big one.
The big one here, cancer.
Yes.
I was blown away by the research on sulforaphane's potential here.
Sulforaphane?
Yeah.
It's like a multifaceted warrior against cancer, working on all these different levels.
Right.
It can trigger apoptosis.
Okay.
Which is basically like a self-destruct button for cancer cells.
Okay.
It inhibits their growth and their ability to spread.
Right.
Which is, that's the scary part about cancer.
That is the scary part, yeah.
And it even disrupts signaling pathways.
Yeah, okay.
Like beta-catenin, RAF, MEK, NF-kappa-B.
Right.
Those pathways, they're like communication lines that cancer cells use to grow and thrive.
So it's cutting off their...
Exactly.
Off community.
Stopping them from... Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Wow.
But there's another really fascinating angle here.
Yeah.
Sulforaphane can act as a chemosensitizing agent.
Meaning?
So it makes cancer cells more vulnerable to chemotherapy treatment.
So...
Think of it like weakening the enemy's defenses, making the chemo more effective.
So it helps the chemo do its job.
Yes. And this could be huge for dealing with chemo resistance.
Right. Where the cancer cells become resistant.
Right. They become resistant to the treatment.
That's a huge problem.
It is a huge.
In cancer treatment.
Yes.
So is there actual evidence that sulforaphane works against different types of cancer?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
There are studies showing sulforaphane's potential
for
different cancers, for example.
Yeah.
You can inhibit the growth of prostate cancer cells.
Okay.
In lung cancer, it enhances the effectiveness of cisplatin.
Cisplatin.
Which is a common chemo drug.
Okay.
And it can even reverse resistance to gefitinib.
Gefitinib.
Another cancer medication.
Okay, so it's not just a one-trick pony.
It's not a one-trick pony.
What about other types of cancer?
Oh, yeah. Sulforaphane is showing promise in a variety of cancer.
Right.
There are studies on colorectal cancer that show it can make cancer cells more sensitive to FOLFX therapy.
FOLFX.
Another chemo regimen.
Right.
And it also reduces cell proliferation.
So how fast they multiply.
Exactly. How fast those cells multiply.
Okay.
And in gastric cancer, it's been found to suppress cancer stem cells. Mm-hmm. Those are the...
Those are the nasty ones.
Yeah, the ones that drive the growth.
Yeah, they drive tumor growth. Okay. And even alter gene expression. This is why researchers are so excited about sulforaphane.
It's like it has a superpower, I guess.
It really does.
Cancer.
Yeah. But you mentioned that sulforaphane isn't just about fighting cancer, right?
No, it seems to have.
It was remarkable. Yeah. It's not a one-trick pony. Okay. We see potential for diabetes management, for protecting eye health. Okay. And it even has anti-angiogenic. And antioxidant. Whoa.
Hold on.
Anti-angiogenic.
Yeah. Anti-angiogenic.
What does that even mean?
So angiogenesis is the process of new blood vessels forming. Right. So it's like building roads for a city. Okay. But in this case, the city is a tumor. Right. And tumors need
blood supply.
A good blood supply to grow and spread. Okay. So sulforaphane acts like a roadblock, cutting off those supply lines. Right. And inhibiting the growth of new blood vessels.
Wow. So it's pretty smart.
It is pretty smart.
What about the antioxidant powers?
Right. So
you mentioned those.
We all know antioxidants are important for fighting off those
free radicals.
Harmful free radicals. Yeah. Those little troublemakers that can damage our cells and lead to aging and disease. Yeah. Sulforaphane. Yeah. Champion antioxidant. Okay. And it works in a few clever ways. Okay. First, it activates a pathway called NRF2AR.
NRF2AR.
Which triggers our cells to produce their own army of antioxidant enzymes.
So it's like boosting our body's natural...
Exactly. Boosting our natural defense system. And sulforaphane also helps maintain a healthy balance of reactive oxygen species.
Reactive oxygen species.
Also known as ROS. ROS. These are molecules. Okay. It can be both beneficial and harmful. Right. Depending on their concentration. Okay. And sulforaphane... helps
keep them in check.
Keep them in check.
Okay, so.
And there's.
Further protecting us from damage. Yeah. There's even emerging research looking at its potential role in improving mitochondrial function.
Okay, I remember those from biology class. Right. The mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
Are the powerhouses. Yes. Of the cell.
The powerhouses of the cell. I'm curious, how do scientists figure out what sulforaphane is actually doing inside our bodies?
Yeah, it's not like...
It's not like they can watch it.
No, you can't just watch it. Yeah. That's where things get really high tech. Okay. Scientists are using bioinformatics. Which is basically using computers and sophisticated software to analyze biological data. Okay. One of the studies we looked at used these tools to predict which proteins... Yeah. Sulforaphane might interact with. Right. And the results were fascinating.
So what did they find? What protein?
They pinpointed 11 potential target proteins.
11. Wow.
Yeah. And one of the most intriguing interactions is with NAMPT.
NAMPT.
Or nicotinamide.
Nicotinamide.
Phosphorylbutyl trans...
I'm going to...
It's a mouthful. I know. Yeah. It's a mouthful.
Take your word for it. Yeah. So what's the deal with NAMPT?
Okay, so NAMPT. Yeah. It's a key player in cellular energy metabolism.
So how our cells create and use energy.
Create and use energy. Right. And it's been linked to a whole bunch of diseases.
Okay. So could sulforaphane be influencing how our cells produce energy?
That's what the research suggests. Wow. It seems that sulforaphane might actually activate NAMPT, boosting its beneficial effects. Okay. This is a really promising area of research that highlights how we can use bioinformatics to unravel these complexities of how compounds like sulforaphane work in our bodies.
So we've established that sulforaphane is pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
But now I have to ask the practical question. Yeah. How much do we need? Right. Do I need to be eating broccoli at every meal?
The dose dilemma.
Yeah, the dose dilemma.
That's the question.
That's where things get a little tricky. Okay. It's not a simple answer.
Right. Figuring out the right amount of sulforaphane for each person depends on a bunch of different factors.
Like what?
Well, everyone's metabolism absorption are different.
Okay.
And the amount of sulforaphane can vary.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of broccoli you're eating.
Okay.
So like sprouts.
Sprouts, seeds.
Fresh broccoli.
Fresh.
Cooked.
And didn't we talk about how the cooking method impacts those levels too?
Yeah. It's a lot to consider.
Okay.
There's no one-size-fits-all answer right now, especially since the research on sulforaphane dosage is still ongoing.
Okay.
We need more studies to establish standardized recommendations.
So what's a broccoli-loving listener to do? Should we just be eating?
Hold your horses.
Okay.
It's always best to consult the scientific literature.
Okay.
And talk to healthcare professionals
who can
offer guidance based on
individual needs.
Your individual needs and goals.
Goals, right.
Yeah. They can help you determine an appropriate dose.
Okay.
Based on
your unique situation.
Your unique situation.
This has been an incredible deep dive so far.
Absolutely.
We've gone from the broccoli patch to the complex world of cellular processes.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see how a compound found in a simple vegetable
can
have such a profound impact.
I know. It is remarkable.
It's remarkable.
And we're just getting started.
Okay.
There's so much more to explore.
All right.
When it comes to sulforaphane. You know, we've talked about some of the sulforaphane's individual benefits.
Right.
But what's really fascinating is how they all connect to create a bigger picture of cellular health.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Yeah.
Paint that picture for us.
Okay, so think about sulforaphane's role in activating the NRF2 pathway.
Right.
It's not just about boosting antioxidants.
Okay.
That pathway also influences detoxification processes.
Okay.
And even DNA repair.
So it's like a whole system.
It's like a whole system upgrade for your cells.
So it's less about individual benefits and more about supporting the overall health and resilience of our cells.
Exactly. And this ties into a concept called hormesis.
Hormesis.
Where small doses of stress.
Wait.
Yeah.
Stress can be good for us.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to need you to unpack that one.
Okay, so think of it like weightlifting.
Right.
You know, you're putting your muscles under stress, which makes them stronger.
Right.
In a similar way.
Okay.
Exposing ourselves to small amounts of certain stressors.
Okay.
Like sulforaphane.
Okay.
Can actually activate mechanisms that makes them more resilient.
So sulforaphane is like a personal trainer.
It's like a personal trainer.
For our cells.
For your cells.
Pushing them.
Pushing them to be their best.
To be their best.
Yeah.
But does that mean we need to be?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
It's about finding the
right
balance. Yeah. Too much stress.
Is obviously harmful.
Obviously harmful.
Right, but.
But controlled, manageable amounts can trigger these beneficial adaptations.
So how do we know if
we're
getting enough?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's no simple answer. Mm. Research on optimal sulforaphane dosage is still ongoing.
Okay.
And there are so many individual factors at play.
Okay.
Like your metabolism, how you prepare your food, even the specific type of broccoli you choose.
So there's no way.
There's no magic number of broccoli florets.
To eat per day,
right?
Okay. Yeah. Now I want to circle back to sulforaphane's cancer-fighting properties. Okay. We've seen some really compelling research.
It is very compelling.
Are doctors already using it in cancer treatments?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the research is incredibly promising, but we need to be cautious about jumping from promising lab results to actual human treatments.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still a lot we need to learn.
So it's not a magic bullet just yet.
Not quite, but there are ongoing clinical trials investigating sulforaphane's potential in various cancers.
So the future is.
So the future is definitely exciting.
Exciting. That's encouraging. Yeah. It sounds like we're on the verge of
Something
big when it comes to using sulforaphane to prevent,
yeah,
and maybe even treat,
right,
certain diseases.
Certain diseases.
I'm sure there are.
But of course there are.
Challenges and limitations researchers are working through.
Absolutely. And one of the big ones is bioavailability.
Bioavailability.
Basically, how much of the sulforaphane we eat actually gets absorbed.
Absorbed.
And used by our bodies.
And used.
And that can differ hugely depending on your genetics, your gut health,
even
what other foods you're eating.
Oh, interesting.
Alongside that broccoli.
So it's not just about.
Right. It's not just about.
How much sulforaphane is.
The quantity in the broccoli.
Yeah, but how much your body can actually access.
Access and use.
And use.
Okay.
And this highlights the growing importance of personalized nutrition.
Right.
What works for one person
might
not work for another.
Right, right.
So
understanding
individual differences.
Individual differences and tailoring dietary approaches accordingly is key.
Okay. What about those studies that use pure sulforaphane?
Yeah.
Could that be a way to bypass?
So using pure sulforaphane in research lets scientists control the dosage very precisely.
Right.
And study its effects in isolation.
In isolation, okay.
But this doesn't necessarily reflect real-world eating.
Real-world eating, right?
In real life.
Yeah, we're getting sulforaphane through...
We're getting it through Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, right?
And it's a...
And it's much more...
It's much more complex.
Complex. So it's about remembering the context.
Right, remembering the context.
Okay.
The effects we see in a controlled lab setting...
Right.
With
pure sulforaphane.
Pure sulforaphane might not perfectly match what happens.
What happens in our
complex digestive systems.
Digestive systems.
Right.
And it gets even more complicated because sulforaphane doesn't just stay as one molecule.
Okay.
It goes through a series of transformations in the body.
Okay.
Creating metabolites. Yeah. Metabolites that might have their own unique effects.
So the whole...
It's a whole cascade of reactions happening.
Happening once we eat that broccoli. Once you eat that broccoli.
Yeah.
And understanding those metabolic pathways and how they influence sulforaphane's overall impact is another...
Other major area.
Major area of ongoing research.
This is really highlighting... The intricate connection between food, our bodies,
and the fascinating world of biochemistry.
Of biochemistry, it's so much more than just
it is.
Eat your vegetables.
It's so much more.
There's a whole unseen world.
A whole unseen world.
At work.
At work.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation.
Me too.
Because this deep dive has
fascinating.
Really opened my eyes. Yeah. We've gone from
the basic idea.
Yeah, from the basic idea of
sulforaphane's benefits.
Sulforaphane's benefits.
To the amazing complexity of how it works.
With how it actually works.
On a cellular level.
On a cellular level. We've talked about.
Its cancer-fighting properties.
Yes.
How it strengthens.
How it strengthens our cells. Our cells. And we even touched on the importance of personalized nutrition.
Right.
And the challenges researchers are facing.
Yeah, exactly. So what does all this mean?
Right.
For our listeners out there. Yeah. Maybe someone's listening to this while munching on some broccoli.
Right.
Right now.
Yeah.
Should we all be stocking up on cruciferous veggies?
Well, it's definitely a great idea to include more sulforaphane-rich foods in your diet.
In our diet.
But remember, it's not just about quantity. It's about quality.
Okay.
And being strategic.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
How can we... optimize our sulforaphane intake?
So that's a great question.
Are there certain types of broccoli that are better than others?
Yeah, so...
Broccoli sprouts. They tend to have the highest concentration of glucoraphan.
Right, the precursor.
The precursor to sulforaphane.
Sulforaphane, okay.
Right.
I'm picturing like a little forest of broccoli sprouts on my sandwich.
Exactly.
What about the best way to prepare them? Yeah. Should I be eating them raw? For maximum benefit.
Raw broccoli will retain
the
most myrosinase, that enzyme we talked about.
Right.
That's essential.
Right. For converting.
For converting the glucocorphin into sulforaphane.
But if you prefer cooked veggies, lightly steaming or microwaving are good options.
Okay. And if I do cook them, are there any tricks to...
Oh, yeah.
boost?
There's a simple hack.
Okay.
You can try adding a sprinkle of mustard powder.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
To your cooked broccoli.
This mustard can help us get more...
It can.
Sulforaphane.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mustard seeds contain their own myrosinase.
Okay.
Which can then convert the glucoraphanin in the broccoli.
Yeah.
Into sulforaphane.
Oh, wow.
It's a great way.
It's a great trick.
Yeah.
I'm definitely adding that to my cooking routine.
Definitely.
But before we all go crazy for broccoli, it's important to remember.
It is important to remember.
That is not a miracle cure.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Sulforaphane is a powerful compound with a lot of potential.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a standalone solution for any health condition.
It's just one piece.
It's just one piece of the puzzle.
Of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So it's all about creating a synergy of healthy habits. A healthy lifestyle includes a balanced diet, regular exercise, stress management.
Yeah.
Good sleep.
Right.
Sulforaphane can be a valuable tool in that overall approach.
Right.
But it's not a substitute for a holistic approach to well-being.
This has been an incredible deep dive. Yeah. I feel like we've gone from the farm.
From the farm.
To the lab and back again.
It's lab and back again.
Exploring this amazing world.
It is amazing.
Of sulforaphane.
Yeah.
And its impact on our health.
And through it all.
Yeah.
We've seen how powerful knowledge can be the more we understand about how food interacts with our bodies, the better choices we can make to support
our own individual
health goals.
That's such an important point.
It is.
It's about empowering ourselves with knowledge.
Absolutely.
And taking an active role in our health.
In your health.
So to our listeners, we encourage you to add some broccoli.
Add some broccoli. To your next grocery list.
Grocery list.
But more importantly, remember that every meal is a chance to nourish your body.
Right.
And support its incredible capacity for well-being.
I love that.
Keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Keep learning.
Keep learning.
And keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep.
Into this fascinating world.
Into the fascinating world.
Of food and health.
Of food and health.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Stay curious.